in these last few days and this last couple of weeks, there's been a lot of gifts that have been given. Amen. Christmas has just passed by, and you know, I know right now there's probably a lot of wives happy or should be happy with what husbands gave them, and husbands should be happy right now with what wives have given them. Some of the youth should be very pleased with what parents and grandparents and loved ones and guardians have given. A lot of gifts that have been given about. All I asked for Christmas, and I didn't get it, I asked my wife for a helicopter, and she wouldn't give it to me. So, Paula, I stand publicly asking you for a helicopter. But anyway, I asked for it, so she gave me a little model one about that big, Bobby, so I guess I wasn't clear. I just thought it'd be easier to travel in a helicopter, but I guess not, not when it comes to Miss Paula. But a lot of gifts that have been given over these last few days, but I will tell with you and share with you this morning, according to God's Word, you've heard this part before, I assure you that there has never been a gift given as great as what God gave us. Amen? When He gave Jesus Christ His Son, I assure you there is not a gift that could ever be given that would even come close to elevating itself as high as what Jesus Christ is. When we think about what God has given us, I can't help but to think about the gift of salvation. The title of our lesson today, The Gift of Salvation. Folks, I have to ask the question, what does your salvation today, seriously speaking, really mean to you? By your actions. That means by the things that you get yourself involved in, by the things that you do, and by the way you act, and not only by the way you act, but how you react to certain things. By your actions, does that pretty well speak for your value upon your salvation? By the lifestyle that you live, by the things that you say and by the things that you do, does it reflect God's love for you and your love for God? By the things that you read, the material that you're reading, does that pretty well reflect that you're keeping Christ in everything that you do? By the movies that you view, are you viewing the right things? Or are you viewing things that could be very suggestive, things that could really bring reproach upon yourself and upon the Lord? What about the company that you keep? Some will say, what does that mean? The people you're hanging out with. You know, does that, by the people that you associate with, is it causing you to neglect so great your salvation? And then the thought is just continues on and on. So it does warrant the question, are you okay today with your salvation? Do you feel very comfortable today in your walk with Jesus Christ? Or do you know that there is something in your life, something that you're participating in, something that perhaps you're engaged in, that we're engaged in, that may be causing a little doubt? I want us to recognize today the gift of salvation. It is a true gift given to us by God. So let's be sure that we recognize just how great this gift is. And let's make sure that we, on a daily basis, showing God just how grateful we are for that gift. There are some in the Scriptures. Over in the book of Acts chapter 5, if you want to look at that later today, Acts chapter 5, 1 through 11, there's a husband and wife. Their name is Ananias and Sapphira. And I submit to you today, brothers and sisters, because they lied to the Holy Spirit that they neglected so great their salvation. When I look at what happened there, and they had opportunity to do the right thing, but Amy, we see very quickly they didn't do the right thing. We know, Jerry Jr., that their life was required of them. Does that make sense? And we know that there was a huge price to pay. They neglected their salvation. A big price was paid for that. Over in the book of Luke, chapter 12, if you look at verses 16 through 21, you'll see the whole situation with the rich fool. The rich fool did not show in the Scriptures that he was a really bad guy. It just didn't show that he was doing what God had wanted him to do. He wasn't sharing and he wasn't looking around and seeing to the needs of other people. He just kept thinking about all of his treasure. And you remember how the Lord referred to him? He said, thou, this night your soul shall be required of you. Then whose of these things be which you provided? So do you see right there that he did not, brothers and sisters, he didn't really care too much, according to the Scripture, about his salvation. Then there was another guy who came to Jesus and he called him good teacher. He said, you know, what's going on? What am I missing? I'm paraphrasing that a little bit. And Jesus told him, said, you know what? Go sell what you have. Give the money away to the poor. Come and follow me. But the Bible says that he went away for he had great possession. He valued the possessions that he had more than he did that in his salvation with God. There's another king. Anybody in this building ever heard of King Herod? If you have, confirm it with an amen. All right, some of you haven't. I'll explain to you a little bit who he is later on. King Herod was sitting there, and he was giving a speech. And he was talking, and he was, all the people, Brother Bobby, just kept saying, hey, this dude's pretty good. He's, you know, he sounds like a god. But he didn't stop them and say, wait a minute, I'm just a human being. He took and he robbed God of the glory that he so richly deserved. What do you remember what happened to him? He was eaten. What was the second part? And died. What did he die and then was eaten by worms? No, his cause of death, you remember we said this before, his cause of death was he was eaten by worms and then died. Brothers and sisters, I don't even want a moth landing on my arm. I freak out. If we have an insect in our house, I'm not saying this as an illustration, I start screaming. I'm a 62-year-old man. I can't move really well, but Bobby, you ought to see me climb on top of furniture when there's an insect. So I have to scream for Paula, who is 5'3½" against a 6-foot guy, but Paula has to come running and hollering, what is wrong? And then I say, look, and she said, Jerry, it is an ant. I thought you were bleeding to death. I said, I might as well have been if this thing would have ever got a hold of me. I can't stand it. The reality is this, brothers and sisters, getting eaten by worms and then die would be a horrible death, wouldn't it? All right, three of you thought it would be pretty bad. The rest of you think, I think it would be pretty cool. Well, we'll see. Don't end up on my embalming table. I'll let you know about it. The rich man, listen to me, the rich man in the story of the rich man and Lazarus. You remember that situation? The rich man wouldn't even recognize that he had somebody in need. The beggar there was just begging, not for the food that was on the table, but for the crumbs that fell to the floor. Let's make sure we pay attention to that. He didn't as much look down and see this individual in need, and you know the end result. I would call that neglecting his responsibility, neglecting his salvation. As we look at into and at our own lives today, I hope and pray that we're not neglecting our salvation. I hope and pray that we're not neglecting so great our salvation. Looking at what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, if you have your Bibles, I hope that you're there. Hebrews chapter 2, looking at verses 1 through 3. And let's see what the Hebrew writer says about neglecting our salvation. The Bible says, listen, therefore we must give more earnest heed to the things which you have heard, lest we, give them the next two words, drift away. For if the word spoken through the angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we, talking about all of us, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who did what? To those who heard him. Sadly, there's a bunch of people in our world today, some even that call themselves members of the body of Christ, that on a daily basis is neglecting so great their salvation. So I want us all to take a quick look at what is so great about the salvation, which we'll see according to the scripture. As we visit our lesson today, I want to make sure that we do a self-search, if I may, to look into our own lives and make sure that we're not neglecting this great gift that the Lord has given us, this gift called salvation. So listen, our salvation is great. Confirm it with an amen if you believe it. All right, it is great. So don't neglect it by the wrong lifestyle. Make sure that we are living our lifestyle conducive with what the Scripture says. The first point that I want to consider today, as we talk about the gift of salvation, I submit to you, according to the Scripture, salvation is a great gift because of the price that was paid. Does that make sense? The price that was paid for your salvation and mine, that makes it a great gift. I sincerely, and I hope that you do, sincerely hope and pray that you don't believe for one second that salvation was free and no cost was involved. Have you heard these preachers before say, well, come on to the cross, salvation is free. Have you ever heard of that? I've heard people say that, and it runs chills down my arms to think, why would an individual be standing there lying when salvation is not free? It is absolutely not free. I've talked to a couple of preachers when they say that, and they're like, Jerry, it is free. It doesn't cost you anything. Well, that's just a barefaced lie. If you look at what the Bible says in Luke 9:23, the Bible says if you to deny yourself, take up your what? And do what? And follow me. So if there's no cost involved, then why am I having to deny myself? If I deny myself anything, that's a cost, isn't it? It also is a cost of discipleship, making sure that I'm willing to do what he's calling me to do. John 8:31, if you abide in my word, you are my what? disciple. Give me the next word. Indeed. So when we look at that passage of Scripture, you can't tell me there's no cost in there. So preachers and church members and family of God, don't say that salvation is free. It is not. Now, it's free as it's open to everyone, isn't it? God doesn't discriminate. He wants all to come to repentance and to live a life for Him and unto Him. Salvation is great, and it's great because of its price. Please know, according to the Scriptures, that salvation was very, very expensive. Say that with me. It was very, very expensive. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. These two are right. Look, John 3, 16 and 16 is over here. Let's do it together. For God so loved us that He gave His only, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have 17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him we might be saved. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you for that great salvation that You are providing for you and me. So we know, according to that passage, John 3:16, that salvation cost God. It cost God His only begotten Son. And then I have to move over to a passage that I try to make sure we do every Lord's Day. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrated His own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, finish it up, Christ Jesus, He died for us. Who was Christ? He was the Son of? So it cost God His Son, didn't it? So when we talk about salvation, and you hear someone say salvation is free, I hope we, in a brotherly, loving way, would say, no, sir, or no, ma'am, you need correction. It cost God His only begotten Son. As we can consider the cost of salvation, we must remember that not only did it cost God His Son, but it also cost Jesus His physical life, didn't it? He was beaten. He was scourged. He was mocked. I mean, and I'm talking about something that you and I, no matter what you've been through and what I've been through, it pales in comparison to what Jesus went through for you and for me. So it cost Jesus His flesh, didn't it? It cost Him His physical life. It made Jesus have to feel totally alone up on the cross when He called out to His Father, Brother Larry. He says, Father, why hast Thou forsaken me? Now I want you to think about that moment in the life of Christ. Feeling all alone up on that cruel cross at Calvary, dying for the sins of the world. Not His sins, but our sins. Look at the weight that He must have carried when He carried Jerry Ladd's sin. When He carried my guilt and your sins and your guilt, and He carried that to the cross. Don't you ever say that salvation is free. There was a huge price paid for your spiritual liberties and for mine. Are we in agreement? All right. So Jesus Christ, He suffered unto death for us. I think about 1 Corinthians chapter 15, down in verse 3, where the Scripture says, for I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our what? According to the, there it is. And don't forget 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us, and we also lay down our lives for who? For the brethren. Brother Larry, you mentioned that just a few moments ago. If you read later today the book of Matthew, Dane, I know you like this because you've read it several times before. She smiles every time I mention this. But Matthew 27 through 50, you will see very quickly in that reading that salvation, brothers and sisters, absolutely was not free. Amen? We can also see over in the book of 1 Peter. Would y'all go there with me? Are you there? All right, very good. 1 Peter chapter 2, 21 through 24. Let's take a look and see what's going on there. 1 Peter chapter 2, 21 through 24. For to this you were called, because Christ also did what? Suffered for who? Leaving us an example that we should follow whose steps? The Bible says His steps, Jesus' steps. Go to 22. Who committed, now watch this, how much sin did Jesus commit? None, absolutely no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth. When he was reviled, He did not revile in return. When He suffered, He didn't threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously, who Himself bore our sins in His own body upon the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you and me together we were, give me the word, healed. Absolutely. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for such a great gift. Thank you for the gift of salvation. I wanted a helicopter. I didn't get it. But I got a much better gift, didn't I? I've got salvation. I've got salvation, a home in heaven with God and the heavenly host. God gave His Son. Jesus gave His life. I'm convinced, brothers and sisters, that salvation is a great gift because of the price that was paid for it. The second point I want us to examine this morning, as we're talking about the gift of salvation, I submit to you from the Scriptures that salvation is a great gift because Jesus is the author of it, isn't He? All three of y'all agree. Jesus is the author of it, isn't He? I just want to make sure we have some people just about dozing off. I will wake you right up. Love you. Well, I like you. Okay, let's get on to this one. Jesus is the author of salvation. I am thankful and I hope and pray that you are as well. And I know you are, that Jesus Christ offered and gave His life for you and for me, making Him the author and finisher of our salvation. Is that about right? Okay. We know according to Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30, and I appreciate the invitation that Jesus Christ gives. This is indeed the greatest invitation you'll ever receive. I've received invitations to weddings. I've received invitations to graduations. I've received invitations to family reunions. And those have been good. Thank you. But I have never received an invitation as great as the one Jesus gave me. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, come to me, all you laboring to heavy wood, laden, and Jesus will give you some rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me. I'm gentle, I'm lowly in heart. What does He say? And you will find rest for your souls. My burden is easy. Is that what He says? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. I am thankful, brothers and sisters, for this great Jesus Christ. Folks, Christ Jesus is the author of a new and better covenant. Can you imagine trying to live under the old law? I wouldn't want to do it. You remember how they had to bring all these animals up and make these animal sacrifices, put it on an altar and separate the fat and do all this and just do all that stuff. And I'm struggling because I'm running from one of these big red ants at our house. You know I would fail miserably. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing the new law. I would fail miserably, and you would too, under the old law. But I love what the Scripture says. Take a look, Hebrews 10:9. Then He said, "Behold, I have come to do Your will, O God." Listen to me. He takes away the first, that He may do what? Thank you, Teresa. He may establish the second. And I'm thankful for the Father above, and I hope and pray that you are, and I feel that you are. Thankful because Jesus is the author and finisher of our salvation to all who obey, according to Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Listen, salvation today is indeed a great gift because Jesus Christ is the author of the salvation, your salvation in mind, the very one that died for you and for me. Please don't neglect so great your salvation. The third point that I want us to look at and consider today, as we talk about the gift of salvation, I want to tell you today that salvation is a great gift because it takes away the eternal punishment of sin, doesn't it? It takes away the eternal punishment of sin. Can you imagine today not having a Walmart? Some people would go through withdrawals. Can you imagine not having a Dollar General store? Can you imagine not having a Mexican restaurant? That would kill me. Can you imagine some of those nice things that we have and then take those away? But can you imagine this, not having the forgiveness of your sins? Boy, it makes all those other things seem awful minor, doesn't it? Can you imagine not having a house to live in and socks and shoes on your feet and clothes on your back? Those would be terrible. But losing your salvation or not ever having salvation would be the worst thing that any person could ever hear. Oh, I long for the day to hear the Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Sadly, there's going to be people, some maybe in our own family, some that even attend and come in this building, some that may be, if they're not right in their salvation, that will hear the words, "Depart from, I never." I wonder about the people today that could be here. Not judging anyone. There's reasons that people can't be here, but there's also excuses for people that can't be here. Does that make any sense? Today, we need to tighten it up. We've got to really look at who is our priority. What is our priority? I think about the number of people today that's just engaged in different things. The number of, I don't even call them reasons, excuses that people can't be here. It makes me wonder if they're neglecting so great their salvation. Not looking at them from the eyes of judgment, but looking at them from the eyes of concern. So what you and I need to be doing is doing what? Praying for them and encouraging them every way that we can. Because we're not promised tomorrow. The Hebrew writer tells us every single one of us are going to die. Do you realize that? Thank you, preacher lad. We appreciate your encouragement. Guess what? You are dead. We are all dying. I almost sound like the old president, didn't I? But we are dying, aren't we? Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed for man to, after this, then prepare for it. Amen? Prepare for the judgment. It's coming. Prepare for that. Make sure. Salvation is great because it offers forgiveness. I'm thankful today that I have a God that loves me so much that He understands. Listen, Larry, He understands my weaknesses. Do you realize that? Bobby, did you know that God also understands our shortcomings? You realize that? Amy, do you understand that He knows yours and my heart's desire, doesn't He? So, Jerry, when we're looking at all of these different things, we know that God understands where we're at. He knows I'm going to sin. He knows I'm going to fall short. He knows I'm going to miss the mark. But He also knows my heart's desire. If I'm looking at it going, well, I'm not worried about that. I'll be forgiven. God will forgive me. And I just go about it and do it again and again and again. Well, then I'm reminded in Hebrews 10:26, if you continue to sin willfully after knowing right from wrong, there no longer remains a sacrifice of that sin. So we can't be playing with God. Amen? You can't be toying with God in your relationship and in your walk with Him. Get it right, brothers and sisters. And you don't go by what I say. Don't go by what your wife said. Don't go by what your husband said. Go by what God says, amen? Because I would never intentionally lead you wrong, but I'm just a mere human being. I can get my words all crossed up. I can say things maybe I shouldn't even have said. But Jesus Christ will never lead us wrong. Value your salvation. It's the greatest gift ever. God understands these things, but that's still not a license to go out and sin, is it? Even though God understands that we are going to fall short, Romans 3:23, for all have and fallen of the glory of, we can take that passage and I can feel good and fix the top of my jacket and go, well, I'm not worried about it. Everything's all right now. But then Romans 6 is holding its hand up going, excuse me, Jerry, excuse me just a second. Romans 6:23 says, but the wages of sin is what? Is death, but the gift of God's eternal life in Christ Jesus. And then I have to pull my jacket back and go, well, okay. So don't think that we can run around in sin, do anything we want, just say, God will forgive me. That's not true. We have to have a repentant heart. Luke 13:3 and also 5, I tell you nay, but unless you will all likewise. That's absolutely right on the money. All right, so let's get rolling here. So we've got eternal punishment for those who are not right with Christ, for those who continue to neglect Christ, for those who do not have and have not done what they have to do to have salvation. I love what the Scripture promises for all of us that do have salvation, for all of us that are saved. John 14:2, in my Father's house are many what? If it were not so, I would have told you. And Jesus even gives us an assurance. He says, I go there to do what? To prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you to that where I am, there you'll be also. That's what I'm longing for, brothers and sisters. I'm not interested in neglecting my salvation. I want to be where Jesus is. Say that with me. I want to be where Jesus is. Very good. So we can all be confident that all who receive the gospel and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ will be forgiven of their sins. Those who are faithful unto and into our death. Yes or no? Okay. Fourth and final point. Amy's like, I thought he had three. All right, so we're going to hit this fourth one, and then I'll let you go. This is your fourth point, and this lesson's going to your house. Salvation is a great gift because it brings hope to all people who receive it. How many of us in here are always wanting to have hope? Look, someone back there going, you don't need any hope? Yeah, everybody want hope? Confirm it with an amen. All right, so we're all wanting hope. I guarantee you this. When you hold hands with Jesus Christ, when you become a child of the Most High God, it'll give you hope beyond anything else. It gives us hope, Brother Harvey, beyond the grave, doesn't it? When we have hope in Jesus Christ, understand that grave's not going to hold you. Get that? Let's use good grammar. It ain't going to hold you. So I want to make sure we understand that it gives us hope for all who receive it. That is what I love about the Lord. He doesn't discriminate against anyone. I love what the Scripture says in Romans 10:13, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be what? You shall be saved. Now, that means more than simple utterance. We can't do this thing that people are describing now, Jared, as the sinner's prayer or whatever. I've never heard of it. Didn't see it. Can't find it. Bible tells us in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Very good. So God doesn't discriminate. You don't have to be in top physical shape to go to heaven. You don't have to be the most pretty young lady or good-looking fella to ever to get to heaven. You don't have to be that perfect little Barbie model size to get to heaven. You don't have to own your own business to get to heaven. You don't have to be an author of a number one selling book to get to heaven. You just got to love God and be obedient unto Him. Amen? That gets you into heaven. The things that we've done on earth are the things that God has allowed us to do on earth. So make sure that we use our blessings to bless other people with. I don't want to get too far off track of the lesson, but don't neglect our salvation. Are we together so far? You better be glad, because you don't make me start all over. And so our God is an awesome God. He invites every one of us, we read that a while ago in Matthew 11:28-30, to come to Him. He also wants us to come to Him with that repentant heart. He wants us and He requires us, in order to go to heaven, listen, you must be born again. In John 3:1-7, Jesus explained that to a fellow named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, came to Him by night and said, hey, what's up? What do I need to do? Jesus told him clearly. There was confusion. How do I get back in mother's womb a second time? How does that happen? That's not how you do that, Nicodemus. You're born of the water and the Spirit. Amen? That's how we do it. We are baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. In the book of Acts, 2, down in verse 38, Peter told those who had helped crucify Christ, they were pricked in their hearts. He said, let every one of you repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the, watch this, gift of, very good, gotcha, gift of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome? I appreciate both of y'all agreeing with that. And then drop down, Acts 2, down to verse 47. Having favor with all of the people, the members of the church voted you in. Isn't that cool? You better get on to me. I'm so glad somebody said, yeah, Jerry, that's pretty cool. No, the Bible says having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those that are being what? Saved. All right. To His church. Excuse me, Harvey. To His church. Let me do it like Harvey. His church. There we go. Is that better? All right, buddy. I love that man back there. So we can rest assured that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with some, bingo, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And Paula, you're right. I'm sorry. I got to quit using that word bingo right in the middle of a church service. I don't play bingo. These visitors are going to go, did you see how the preacher's been playing bingo? Because if it wasn't in his heart, it wouldn't be in his mouth. He shouldn't have said that. Sorry, visitors. My wife actually is the one that plays bingo, not me. But I'm kidding. She only plays on Fridays. Okay. Lord Jesus Christ, bless us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So, listen. We have to, as we close, we've got to take an inventory. Amen. We have to take an inventory. Even on your jobs, they probably take inventory. We've got to take inventory, Jerry Jr., of our spiritual life. We need to find out what's here, what's not here. Does that sound about right? Rick, you agree with that? All right, check ourselves out. Find out if our life is conducive of what the Scripture says. Take an inventory. Have you taken an inventory lately of your spiritual blessings to be reminded of just how awesome God is? We have the Bible, which is the true way of life. We have the avenue of prayer. We've got the opportunity to assemble together at every opportunity. The opportunity to assemble. Man, preachers just talk about that till we're blue. And yet so many people neglect that. Never, ever will I understand it. I've never understood how attendance in the Lord's church is a burden. I don't know. Maybe I'm just too dumb to understand it. I don't guess I really want to understand it. But how people do not look forward to coming to the church service, and how some people look at it as a burden. Yeah, I gotta go. Gotta get up in the morning early. I gotta get to church. What is wrong with you? You should be saying, you know what? Lord willing, I get to go to church in the morning. Lord willing, I get to go assemble with the saints. Lord willing, I get to do this. And to have to be begged and pleaded and bribed and get flowers and cards and cookies in the mail and do all that and just have your feet washed. Well, I guess we could do that too. We could be Baptists eating a hearse. We could do all those different things, begging people to get to the church. I wonder what's going to happen on Judgment Day for those people. Just wonder. Are they going to be begging the Lord, Lord, can I get one more chance to show that I love you? One more chance to show that I'm not violating Hebrews 10:25. Do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is a manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much more as you see the day approaching. So why do you have to have these preachers with glasses and bad dental begging and pleading with you to get to the church? Come to church. Amen. I'm preaching to the choir, you're here. But for those that's on Facebook, get in church. Quit watching it on Facebook. Come to church. Fair? All right. Are you good and offended yet? Yes! I did my job this morning. It gives us hope beyond the grave. Listen to me. When we have salvation, it gives us hope beyond the grave. So as we close, what does your salvation mean to you? Is it important? Is it important enough for you to live your life for Jesus Christ on a daily basis? Not just Sunday morning, not just Sunday night or Wednesday night, but if you love God, the Bible says, if you love me, keep John 14:15. John 15:14 says, you are my friends if you do what I command you to do. Show your love for God today. If you're not a Christian, become one. Hear His Word. I gave it to you by Scripture. Are we in agreement? Believe in Jesus Christ. Believe in these words. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be thoroughly and truly equipped for every good work. Do you agree with that? So then we hear, we believe, we repent. Boy, now that's a tough one. Repentance is not overnight. You don't say, okay, preacher, I'm repenting of my sins today, so tomorrow I'm perfect. No. Mm-mm. That's where it begins. And you're going to climb that repentant ladder, and you're going to climb about three or four. When you get to the fifth one, the devil's going to sucker punch you right in the mouth. You're going to fall. I promise you it's going to happen. Promise. And then, you know what? You and I together. Then we're going to climb about three or four together. Then he's going to hit us again. We're going to fall too. And then I'm going to climb seven or eight, and Georgia's going to be there to help me climb, because that's the important part about being together, brothers and sisters. Amen? Say it like you mean it. Amen? All right. And then we're going to climb, George and I are going to climb up like 15 steps before we get hit again. He's always going to be after us. He's not after the ones that's not a Christian. He's already got them. He's after the Christian. He's after the one that loves the Lord, the one that loves God. He wants to knock us off of our spiritual feet, doesn't he? He'll use your wife. He can use your children. He can use your job. He can use worldly activities. He can fill your mind with excuses and excuses and excuses why you have not become a Christian today. Don't let the devil have another minute of your time. I've always told you, I'll go to my grave telling you, if you give the devil an inch, he'll take your life. Some say, well, he'll take a mile. He'll take your life if you let him. Put him to death today in your life. Hear, believe, repent, confess your belief in Jesus Christ in the presence of a witness or witnesses. Be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Live a faithful, obedient life unto and into your death. Always remember that we are indeed, say it like you mean it, I'm sorry, our brother's keeper. Very good. Maybe you are a Christian. You've wandered off from the fold of safety. You kind of went back in the world. You're allowing the worldly things to attract your attention. Won't you come back? Won't you get right with Jesus Christ today? Let's start this new year off hand in hand with Jesus. Let Him lead you. Stop trying to lead Him. Amen. If you have a need, any need at all, come now. It's together we stand.